Right, welcome everyone to the first meeting of the Cabinet Subcommittee. Item one is election of chairman. Can I have the nomination, please?
Julian.
Is that agreed? Seconded and agreed? Yes,
you're sat in the middle.
Oh. Yeah, I did wonder.
Councillor Cunningham, over to you.
Thank you. Notification of other business. Not quite sure how they could be, given that this is the first meeting of this subcommittee. I take it there is none here.
No, there is none, Chairman.
Thank you. Chairman's announced that members of the public and press may use their devices to film, photograph or do a sound recording of this meeting. Please raise your hand to let me know if you're doing this so that I can inform all present. Please do not use flash and disable any beeps or other sound notifications that may emit from your device. In addition, I have arranged for the sound of this particular meeting to be recorded. A reminder that, in line with the Code of Conduct, any declarations of interest need to be declared immediately prior to the item in question. I have decided that, following the exclusion of the press and public, item 8 of the... item 8 of the Part 2 item on options for housing investment company will be considered in advance of item 6, the Part 1 item on the same matter. The press and public will be invited back into the room for the debate on the Part 1 item. I'm sure they'll be delighted. Public participation, we have none. So that actually takes us to the subject matter of the report. I'd better turn my phone off on time. Anthony.
Thank you, Chair. So, as this is the first meeting of the subcommittee, I thought it made sense to provide you with an initial report on what you are here to do on behalf of the Council. You will recall that the subcommittee was established in the 2017 Constitution of Review, but we haven't had a call to require it to meet to this point. So we felt it made sense to remind you of the purpose behind it, which is set out in the background section of the report, and also to provide you with a copy of the terms of reference which are appended to the report so that you can familiarise yourselves with those and particularly take those into account when you're considering the next two reports on the agenda. We do flag within the report that the terms of reference were drafted based on examples we found from other authorities who had adopted this model. But clearly, given we hadn't used them before, and this is the first time we're using them, it may well be that we might need to tweak the terms of reference as we go along, but clearly we can monitor that. We do flag that there will be a minor amendment in the 2018 Constitution Review, just to clarify the point around the subcommittee making referrals to Cabinet, which, whilst it's certainly within the spirit of the terms of reference, isn't explicitly within them at the moment, and we felt it would be better to be explicit rather than implicit. So the report also reminds you, excuse me, of the principle that this subcommittee acts as the shareholder on any companies wholly or partly owned by the council. Clearly, those companies will then have memorandum and articles of association, and those will set out the split of responsibilities between the shareholders and the directors. And it's either in this report or one of the later reports that generally the approach is likely to be, where it's appropriate to do so, to be one where we err on the side of the directors taking more decisions than not, on the basis of if we need the company to act commercially, we need, and we are seeking to try to free it from the usual council structures, then it makes sense for the directors to have as much autonomy as is reasonable on a particular company, rather than necessarily having to come back to the shareholders every time, albeit the reason for a subcommittee of three is it's quicker and easier to convene that at relatively short notice if required, rather than a full meeting of Cabinet. So with that all said, I think hopefully the report and the terms of reference are pretty self-explanatory, but I'm more than happy to answer any questions or indeed throw them in the direction of colleagues who are within the room.
Do I take it from that then that
the companies that we already have a shareholder interest in become part of the remit of this committee. I'm thinking of Careline, a CCTV partnership, Building Control and North Arts Homes.
So Careline is not a company. So
it's not.
So that, so if Careline changed its corporate structure, mm-hmm. then potentially yes. But currently Careline is not a company, therefore would not fall within its remit. But yes, Building Control Company, which were the other examples you gave, sorry?
CCTV Partnership.
Yes.
Yeah. And North Arts Homes.
Yes. Yes. Potentially, yes, the subcommittee would make shareholder decisions on all three of those, which are currently probably with Cabinet and or with officers. Yeah. Certainly we have officers on the CCTV and Building Control Companies who are nominated as directors. But they're acting as directors rather than shareholder. So ultimately, if there are any decisions around, say, the future of those companies that fall to the shareholder, then that would be for you to take. But to flag that there are certain decisions that are not within the remit of this subcommittee and are within the remit of the full cabinet, and typically those ones are around the setting up or closing down of companies. But what we would make explicit in the constitution review is that you're able to make recommendations on them.
So what's the status of Careline then?
It's just run as a service.
Yeah, it's an operation within the council.
Just an operation within the council.
Yeah. And when you received the last report at Cabinet about 2.5 or 3 years ago on the sort of development of Careline, we put in there a review period. I think we suggested 3 years from memory. Dependent on the progress on the development options for Careline. Clearly, having Careline within the organisation has some benefits, particularly in relation to tax. The position so far has been reducing the cost to the council of the Careline operation, and that was the point that you last considered it, where it was a net cost to the council, and it's been reducing that. At a point where it would look at being in a position of making a sort of an ongoing sort of surplus, then we would need to reconsider the governance arrangements.
And certainly any surplus in the short term could be used to offset against previous losses.
Yeah.
So as David says, it's the point at which it is making ongoing surplus or surplus of any size is when we need to look at how it would be organised corporately.
So currently, Careline is not making a surplus. Is that correct?
I haven't seen the end of year figures haven't been produced for 2017-18, but certainly historically, there hasn't been a position where we've made an ongoing surplus. There's always cycles. There's investment in equipment, investment in IT. So it may be there are small. I don't know the history of it. But in recent years, there may be small surpluses in 1 year, but equally there's expenditures that you need to do on a rolling basis.
You can't kind of draw the line on Careline if it's not actually a responsibility of this committee.
It does raise an issue of principle, actually, so I'd rather you didn't draw a line on Careline at the moment until this issue of principle has been established. Now, Careline was set up initially to be certainly set up with the intention of making a surplus, not with the intention of being a public service and being subsidised by the council, wasn't it?
I have been with the council for many years, but I haven't been with the council since Careline was established, which was 35 years ago. So I would need to research the original purpose. I suspect when Careline was established, it was to support our housing function and enable people to remain within their council houses at the time for a longer period of time.
But not necessarily at a cost to the council, ideally.
I believe over many years it has been a cost to the council, and the last report you received, as I say, about 2.5-3 years ago, was about minimising, reducing, eliminating that cost, and then looking potentially at future income generation, which would be a benefit to the council. It did flag there that at the point that it makes an ongoing surplus, we would need, as an authority, to review the position of Careline and its governance arrangements.
Now, you said there's a three-year review. When did that come up?
It's, as I say, it was about 2.5 or 3 years ago that we reported to Cabinet. It's absolutely imminent.
So it's this year, in fact.
I would anticipate that it would be. We put a time scale to it, as I recall, and please excuse me because it is a little while ago that we considered the detail of it. We had the time scale, but we also had a trigger around the sort of the financial viability. So if it happened earlier, we may need to review that earlier. Equally, some of the work with the county has taken longer in terms of developing that market and operation with the county. So it may be that the review is not quite as pressing as we may have contemplated.
And there is a point linked into the timing of the review, which is the senior management restructure. Clearly we are in the middle of the consultation, but it is proposed that Careline move to the new service director for customers. In the event that that is the outcome of the consultation, then it would seem to make sense for the new service director to program in when they would be reviewing the operation of Careline. So that could be a trigger to do it quite naturally anyway.
The future plans of Careline involve it being in a position where it will effectively make a surplus and act on a commercial basis.
Not necessarily.
Well, as I say, there was the report that Cabinet considered about 2.5 years ago. The principal concern at that point was for Careline to be on a firmer financial footing, not costing the authority in excess generally of £200,000 a year, which were the costs that were attributed and not recovered. So reviewing that position, I think, is entirely appropriate in the next 6 months or so. I think that falls naturally with that development work that's been ongoing and the future of the business, given its relocation as well back into the district council offices.
Excuse me pursuing this, but thank you for your indulgence. According to my sources at County Hall in Hertfordshire, there are discussions going on about a potential expansion of Careline, taking on providing services for Hertfordshire County Council on a commercial basis. Now, were this to be the case, it would then naturally seem to me to be a correct course of action to convert it into a commercial organisation in the same way as the things we're proposing to set up today. Therefore, logically, it would then fall under the remit of this panel.
I think at a point where it was a separate entity, it may well be absolutely logical to fall under the remit of this panel. There is work that we currently do for the County Council under what's called the Section 9 EA agreement, so effectively we're delegated by the county to undertake work. We have,
just to be clear on that, we've delegated from one local authority to another local authority
to do that work.
It is under the Local Government Acts that delegation
yep.
sits.
So that's a very, very clear relationship between the County Council and ourselves in undertaking that work on the county's behalf. Given that whilst there aren't members of the public present, we are in Part 1, it's probably not appropriate to comment on other contractual arrangements which may exist potentially in the future and the nature of any arrangements with another organisation.
I think the generality of this report is actually saying that were that
yes,
situation
absolutely.
To arise, you're right.
Yes.
Right. Were yes. that situation. Yes, yes. Well, as long as we minute, Chairman, that concerns have been expressed to the effect that we feel Careline might be better dealt with in this panel than under another service head or another panel, another committee, then I'll be happy with that. Or at least that opinion has been expressed and noted in the minutes.
Ian, did you want to say something?
Several
minutes ago.
CCTV, I just wanted to clarify there is the CCTV partnership and the CCTV company.
Yes.
One of which monitors the local authority cameras, and that's the partnership, which would be outside the remit of this panel, and the one that's the company, which would be within the remit of this.
And which is potentially about to blow up as well.
There is a governance sort of review
it is
being
proposed
undertaken.
There will be a governance review, and that could be triggered as early as the back end of this month, is my understanding.
I understood it correctly, Chairman, that then the remit of this committee, whilst it's currently as it is, it may absorb or take responsibility for oversight, or however we wish to phrase it, those other operations that the council does, which have already been mentioned, building control, CCTV partnership.
I think we need to be careful about the use of words. The purpose of this committee is essentially to be the shareholder in these bodies, and yes, ultimately shareholders have control of any company, but most of the day-to-day, if I can use that expression, staff is always going to be dealt with by nominated directors who are almost certainly going to be officers of the council in the normal operational sphere. So I don't want to get to the stage where we believe this subcommittee accountable to cabinet is making day-to-day operational
decisions. No, I'm not suggesting that.
That's quite correct. You would be providing the oversight on the activities of the directors. And just to be clear, as an executive subcommittee, potentially you are subject to scrutiny.
Of course, yes.
I shall mention that.
But no point am I suggesting that this panel would take any part in day-to-day.
Absolutely. So scrutiny scrutinises you, and you essentially scrutinise the activities of the directors.
Absolutely.
Fine. Okay. You touched on the CCTV thing. It's not here because it's agreed by council. We have a quorum of three. Yes, it's 100%. Is that deliberate?
I can
see that it could be a practical problem.
And we have had this conversation in the context of the other cabinet subcommittee that deals with council charities, which is also a panel of three with a quorum of three. With a cabinet of eight, it is very difficult to have anything on a subcommittee larger than three. And when it was queried in respect to the charity subcommittee, I did have a look, and all best practice says you do not have anything smaller than three.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, it does require everyone's presence. But just to flag at the end of the terms of reference are the delegated powers. In part, they are there to deal with the scenario where, for some reason, we need a decision from the subcommittee, but is unable to be quorate. There are mechanisms there if we need them. I would also say, because it's also been queried in the context of the charity subcommittee, that it's not possible currently under local government legislation to phone in to a meeting. So that was raised previously. Everyone does have to be present. Hence those delegations at the end there, just in case there's a scenario where they can't be.
Well, I think, as you implied in one of your earlier comments, to a certain extent there is a suck it and see element to this, and if it's not working the way we would want it to work, then we'll have to change it formally. Other than that, the recommendation is we note the content of this report and take it into account when considering future reports to the subcommittee. It seems not very controversial, to put it bluntly.
I'm happy to note this, and thank you for writing it so clearly.
Which takes us to item six. Although David.
I need to make a declaration of interest on this. I have a company registered in my name which deals with property lettings, etc. However, it is a dormant company, has never traded, and is in the process of being closed down at the moment. So it's not a disclosable pecuniary interest, because it's already been well established. But I'm declaring it just for clarity.
Okay, thank you. My agenda says we are now going to move directly to the exclusion of the press and public. I'm going to allow Mr. Gourlay time to suppress the recording.